Hi everyone, this is Trey and welcome to another episode of The Power of Swapping. And for this series, again, we're taking you outside Singapore. And for this specific one, we will be taking you to Nepal to hear their story and how they built the swapping community. And we have Dora, who is part of the team of the Nepal swapping community there, that she will give us more backstories and some interesting highlights of what's happening in Nepal. Hi, Dora. Thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for inviting me.
Cool. So let's jump in. Can you tell us how did it all started, your secondhand journey and into swapping?
Okay, so for me, I mean, just a little bit of a background on myself. I used to work in the fashion industry as a stylist, fashion editor for close to 10 years. And then I left the industry and moved to Nepal. And so during that move, I had to basically like cull my wardrobe because I had to downsize it and only bring what I needed. And through that whole culling and moving process, I just saw how much I consumed. And I'm guilty of, you know, having bought clothes that I've never worn and the price tags was still on it. And, you know, and I think that whole process of culling my wardrobe and having to really decide what I can bring and what I need, you know, was kind of an awakening in some sense, where I was just exposed to my own, like, you know, fashion demon, I guess. Because like consuming so much but yet not actually wearing most of it. And so it started from there, where I realized like I have a lot of stuff that I don't wear. And obviously because I worked in the fashion industry and, you know, going to shops and being exposed to fashion all the time, you know, leads you also to wanting to be trendy, you know, wanting to have pieces of the moment and everything. And so that was basically my journey, where I was just like, I have only one set of everything and I have like one body and I can wear so many things. So yeah, so I'm really thankful for that moment, because I think if I hadn't moved, I wouldn't have taken out every single piece and really look at every single piece I had and, you know, really thought to myself like, do I need this? And even boil down to questions, it's like, why did I buy this? Like, you know, and that was really important questions that I asked myself. And I think I got to know myself better, where when I finally kind of narrowed down my wardrobe to bring to Nepal, I just knew what I actually wear often, you know, what was my style, like, you know, so it gave me a better sense of like who I am versus like all the other stuff that obviously I had to give away. I mean, it was really nice because they actually went to like people that I love, who they now still wear it, which is great. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I mean, I got an opportunity to really sit and, you know, think about, okay, this whole consumption that was sitting right in front of me.
Right. Right. Yeah. So having that journey, and obviously the main catalyst of that was the move to Nepal and you forcing yourself to cut down your clothes that you would have to bring. So how was the process, or how did you get into secondhand when the first idea was just to cut down and not even like considering, okay, like I don't mind having less clothes because I know if I move to Nepal, I can always get secondhand. But like, how did you get your hands into secondhand?
So, I mean, secondhand isn't actually very big in Nepal. I think, you know, living in a country like Nepal, where you don't really get access to, I wouldn't say like, good quality clothes, like, you know, it's not readily available and everything. So I just didn't really shop like in Nepal. Like I just kind of stopped shopping, and in a way like that also kind of got me to really, you know, use my current wardrobe. And so that actually led to swapping, where a friend approached me because like She's a really good friend. Her name is Halshwala, and she runs this women's cooperative in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we work together with GFX to start this swap in Nepal, right? Where, like her, like myself, I think like a lot of people in Nepal, like we kind of sometimes you just want to dress up and you want to broaden your wardrobe a little, but you don't have that option of getting good quality stuff, right? But then you also don't want to spend on cheap stuff.
Right.
So then, you know, there was obviously this gap that, you know, I also had stuff that I kind of grew tired of wearing and would like to pass it on. And so would pass it on to friends I know, which is basically how I think swap also started in a more smaller scale, where you kind of do it with your friends, or like even here, like I would do it with my sister and my mom, like we would just kind of switch things around. And that was how I kind of got into secondhand, but not really secondhand in a way. It was more like we didn't purchase these items, we just swapped in.
Right. Yeah. Right. So can you unpack it to us on how did you organize a more community-based? Because like what you have shared, it was your experience among friends exchanging clothes, and how did it happen from being in that group to being available to everyone who are interested to join in Nepal?
Yes, yeah, so I so Halshwala, who I mentioned, was this friend who like I work really closely for a lot of different projects, and I think this one in particular, I think she reached out to me because of my fashion background, and she needed someone to help her kind of, you know, curate the clothes that were being dropped off. So
right.
This was our first time actually doing like the swap together. We had a drop-off point, and we sat there the whole day waiting for people to kind of drop off their clothes and also speak to them and get to know them and kind of explain to them this whole process, because it was just a really new concept in Nepal, right? Like swap. Obviously, when people dropped off the clothes, they had a lot of questions, like, how does it work? Like, you know, and then we would share, and we wanted that whole face-to-face where we could answer their questions there and then,
right?
And then we would tell them, like, okay, you know, like, we will quality check your clothes, obviously, and if we find pieces that were not, you know, up to standard, like, they had an option of taking it back. Mm-hmm. Or we would donate it to different charities. So it was up to them. So the initial stages were a little apprehensive for us, of course, because we ourselves had no clue what the response was going to be, like whether people were even going to drop off stuff or whether this was going to work. We had some feedback from the older generation in Nepal, where they would say like, oh, you know, I don't think anybody will come. Like people aren't really into secondhand shopping or like take other people's clothes. But we were surprised. There were people who dropped it off. And obviously the first swap was a little bit quieter.
Mm-hmm.
But subsequently, you know, when we did more swaps, it just became so popular, like people really liked the ideas. And then I think what was really nice, we had the expat community that, you know, who would live in Nepal for a while but obviously leave and also come and drop off their clothes, and then it would just keep circulating. And I think what for me was really nice to see, and I found really like, I remember just thinking to myself, this is just so joyous to see that the younger generations were really into this whole swapping culture. Like they were really excited. Like they knew the value of it. And to be able to give this access to the younger generation, where I don't think they would be able to afford to keep buying clothes. And I don't think we should encourage them to buy clothes that are not of the best quality, which is not readily available in Nepal. And so like, they too knew that when they come to this swap, they would get a chance to, you know, swap clothes from, for example, the expat community who would have brought like quality clothes that they have bought from overseas. And so you can kind of see the excitement and they get this access, but at least it was in a more sustainable way, you know, like versus like ordering something online from very far away and getting it shipped in or whatever, like, and so just to see the younger generation really accepting of this culture and, you know, not being superstitious or not, you know, being held back by the superstitious culture of the older generation, you know, was very encouraging. Like, and so as we did more swaps, like, it just, the crowd just became bigger, the clothes just became more, and, you know, it was really nice where some people would just drop off clothes with no intentions of swapping because they felt like they didn't need any more, but they had really good clothes that needed new owners. That was really encouraging. Obviously, maybe we kept doing it and more people. And my role in the swap was always to be just an on-site stylist where people could ask for my opinion or if they needed any advice. And I would always be on standby near the mirror where people kind of figure out if this was good for them. And I would just kind of give my honest opinion on whether like it was suitable, it was not suitable. Like sometimes people come alone and then they would not have anyone to ask.
You've really raised a few points there of like your experiences in organizing swaps in Nepal. I think for everyone, we can paint to understand in a larger scale, because I think most of us might not be familiar of what's the fashion scene like in Nepal. So before coming in at the same time organizing the swap, what's fashion like in Nepal and how is it beneficial to them when they did the swapping, especially with the younger generation?
So I think that's a really good question, because when I moved, that was about 4 years ago, like, you know, there weren't many, like, I would say fashionable people, not because there wasn't, but because there wasn't access to that kind of clothes. I mean, now you have, you know, the China market has opened up, and so there are a lot of stores selling very trendy, cheap clothes. So in a way, like, I myself always find it conflicting, where I really find it happy to see more young people and more people dressing up, because, I mean, being in the industry before, like, I do know the importance of dressing up and, you know, how style really speaks volume of your personality. It's the first thing that people kind of know about you. And so it was really nice to see, you know, the younger generations being able to really dress up now and be more fashionable. But obviously it is at a cost where, you know, they buy very cheaply made items that are very trend based, and so that's a bit of the discouraging part. And so I think, you know, we started the swap like two years ago in 2019, 2018 actually. So, you know, we were right in the middle of like where, you know, the trendy cheap China clothes were coming in slowly, but not really like everywhere yet. So for the younger generation, obviously the swap was a great place to kind of look for nice fashionable pieces that they could use to dress up with. So I think currently probably our competition is, you know, trying to encourage more people to swap versus buying these trendy based clothes, in a sense.
Nice. I love that what you are doing with the swap is actually giving them alternatives to access fashion. Hearing that, yes, the China market and the China products are coming in with lesser cost, but also you're very competitive in terms of cost. And what is your advantage is having different styles because you have different markets that everyone can try it out without spending that much in terms of like money and also environmental impacts of it. So which is amazing. Yeah. Do you have any fun and exciting stories that you had when you're organizing swap?
I wouldn't say, I think, well, I mean, fun would be my personal stories.
Yeah.
Because of my experiences, which I think was really fun, but at the same time, like, freaky as well. Like, and it keeps happening. Like, it's so funny that it keeps happening. So every time, for the last few swaps that I've been in, the first swap in Singapore that I attended was by the Fashion Pulpit at WeWork, 2019. And, you know, I think I've shared this with you where, you know, a friend in Nepal was, you know, just a few days before I attended the swap, was sending me a pictures of these beautiful saris with these Mithila paintings on them. And it was really beautiful and I really liked it, but then I told her like I don't really need another sari because I don't attend enough events to want another new sari, right? So I said, yeah, it's really nice, it's very tempting, but no. And then a few days later I attended your swap at WeWork and it was just crazy when I saw the exact same, like, it's not a sari version, it's just a shawl version of that sari in the same color, in the same painting, like just at the swap. Mm. And I was like, I literally stood there, like, you know, lost for words, looking down at it, going, okay, like, I just kind of said no to you like a few days ago, and like, I found a piece, and then I texted my friend, and I was like, look, you know, I have. This is what you showed me, and I'm looking at it at a swap. And so I took it, and I was like, it was freaky, but I was like, this is just meant to be.
Yeah.
I was meant to say no to that sari and then swap this particular piece. And it really happens. Like, I think a few days, last week I went to swap with a Fashion Pulpit with you, and you were there. And I was looking for a bucket hat, and like, I found a bucket hat at the swap. So it's like, I keep finding things that it's like kind of on my want list, but not exactly my need list. And and that has been really fun because like, I always find things that I'm like, oh, okay. Like this top is from the swap at WeWork.
Nice.
Yeah. And like, it's just, so I do think that there is that for me, like every time I go to a swap, there's always like a sign where if you wait long enough and you be patient, you know, you will kind of get what you want because it's a circular economy, right? It's a very circular thing, like, so that somebody's going to give it up because they don't want it anymore, and it may be yours one day, so just kind of wait it out, especially if it's not a need, right? It's just a want.
Yeah,
so those have been really special experiences for me in particular because I keep finding things that are on my want list.
That's amazing how swapping is also giving you those treats or like the want list that you have. Like, obviously now you have really understood the benefit of swapping and how you've embraced it. But was it the same thing when you were in Nepal organizing it? Like, what were the common, I would say, hesitations from your participants that you wanted to address, or has it been addressed, or is it still ongoing?
Yeah, I think for swaps, I think it's a very common challenge that everyone faces is that, you know, we're not a dumb site. Like, you know, if you want to get something, if you want to swap something as good, like, you need to give something as good. So you really need to give something that, like, you know, clothing that is, you know, that's good, that's wearable and clean. And so we spend a lot of time like really curating the pieces that come to us and really doing quality check and control, because we do get pieces that are, you know, just not acceptable, like, to be swapped because, you know, it's either really old or, you know, there are stains and all of that, which I'm sure you experience quite often yourself. And it's just, yeah, so it's always about educating people, like, think about you giving an item that you want to swap with someone else, like a friend. Like, you wouldn't want to give them, you know, something that's really dowdy or old, you know, like, you want to give something good. Right. We also have people who obviously drop more expensive stuff and ask that question where, I'm dropping something really expensive, will I get something just as good? That's always a really tough question because I feel like, you know, swapping is, you know, it's a bigger picture thing, right? It's not just about one for one or getting an item. Like, you're doing it because, you know, you're really trying to be sustainable, you're really trying to save the planet and trying to lead a more circular lifestyle in a sense. So I find it hard sometimes to tell people, like, yeah, you know, it's your choice to drop off something really more expensive than usual, but you can't expect that you're gonna get something just as expensive. Like, we can, you know, guarantee that, you know, it's clean, it's in really wearable condition, but, you know, I find it hard to promise that you're gonna get one for one, right? Like,
right. Do they still do that? Like for your point one, when people treat you as like a dumb side, has it been better now or?
Yeah, I think it has. Also because sometimes, you know, participants do want their clothes back, and the ones that we don't doesn't get past check our quality check, so like they do want it back, and so some of them ask, like, oh, why is it not acceptable? And so we explain, and then through explaining, I think they understand, so that when they come back, they know what to bring or what they can donate to swap, right? Versus coming back and then having the whole process where we keep rejecting, because we've had, you know, participants where none of their clothes are acceptable.
Right.
And so they come and they get very disappointed, and that's where we start educating and telling them why, you know, why it's important, and we let them come into the pop-up and see the kind of clothes that are hung up, so they understand what they can bring the next round.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like it's just through education, it's really just, you know, informing and letting them know, and then they understand it better. And also just seeing it for themselves. I think once they see it for themselves, like what kind of clothes, you know, we've put up on the racks during our swap pop-ups, then they get a better idea of, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually good quality clothes that we are swapping for. It's not like crap clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was really hard for the first pop-up that we had, where no one had ever done this before, no one knew what kind of clothes they were going to get, so naturally people would, you know, kind of give not so good clothes. But then I think after a while, like, they saw the kind of clothes we got, and I think that just, you know, got people more excited about it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, like, the whole swapping concept, it's really very experiential, especially if it's your first time. You would not straight away get how the system works. You need to see it, you need to have the experience of, like, doing it for you to fully grasp the whole idea and be part and contribute to the whole ecosystem of a healthy swapping community. Because again, like, that could be one aspect where they just see swapping as, like, I can get rid of my items regardless of it being good or not. So that's their way of how they see swapping. But once they have seen it, and for example, for people also who are a bit hesitant to give their good quality items because they may not find as good or even better, But when they see it that like they can actually get good stuff, then they will be, it's easier for them to let go. And having said that, what are the most common motivations of why they're swapping? Has it always been about, you know, just getting rid of my items, or is it more leading towards like a more sustainable lifestyle?
I think it's the second one, living a more sustainable lifestyle. I think in Nepal, it's very admirable to see like the younger generation, the current generation, even like the expat community, like people care. People really do care about the planet. People really want to live sustainably. And it's also just like, it is a way of life there. Like, for example, when you go to the supermarkets, I mean, since I've been living there, the big supermarkets don't provide bags. You have to bring your own bag.
Wow.
So it is already, you know, kind of a culture that people live by. Like, it's not like imposed, it's just that's the way of living. And obviously if you go to gentrified areas in the city, you know, there are many shops that don't provide bags. So, you know, sustainable living is a way of living that people really want to achieve. So I think that was also why, you know, doing the swap pop-ups with Hoshwala Creatives in collaboration with Global Fashion Exchange was encouraging, is because we knew people cared, like people wanted a more sustainable option, whether it was fashion, whether it's, you know, in beauty, whether it's in lifestyle, like, you know, people really want to make a difference
right.
in Nepal, like, and I find that, you know, very encouraging. Yeah.
That's really, yes, encouraging to hear how they are working hard to, you know, not just fulfill one aspect of their life to be sustainable, but in the whole spectrum of how they live their life. And with that, because I think before pandemic, pre-pandemic, you were organizing it physical events. How is it like now? Like, are you still continuing? And if you are, how are you doing it?
Yeah, so last year we had to completely stop, I mean, for obvious reasons. And that was a bit sad, but I think last year was a good pause for everyone. Like, I think it was a good rest time for everyone. The good news is this year we've decided we want to open up a physical shop.
Nice.
So I think that has been, it's really exciting. We're working towards that because I think there is, you know, a huge swap culture, and I think that, you know, pop-ups are great and we'll still continue it, but having that physical presence allows people the access to it every other day versus just kind of waiting for a pop-up here and there. And if we can continue to encourage it as a way of life versus just like, oh, okay, sometimes, you know, we have pop-ups and we can swap. Like, I think, you know, that will really make a huge difference, especially in Nepal, where I think people do want to be fashionable, but people also want to be sustainable. So like, you know, just to circulate the clothes within the city first, because we're all based in Kathmandu, that would just, you know, encourage people to, you know, expand the swap culture, like, outside of the city in different parts of Nepal, like, hopefully, you know, like, and then, you know, it's just, we really want to bring the community together. I think that is the main agenda, like, it's just to bring this swap community together, because it's very natural for you to, like, be bored of your clothes after a certain period of time, and
right.
it's not, you don't have to feel guilty, you don't have to feel like it's wrong, but, you know, to give people that opportunity and the access to be able to say, like, okay, I'm tired of this, maybe someone else would love it as much as I did, and, like, pass it on, right? Like, you know, and I think that's the beauty of the swap culture, right? Like, you know, it gets new owners. And if you don't like it in the end, you can bring it back to the swap and it will find again another new owner. And like, that's amazing. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I can't wait to visit your shop in Nepal if we all can travel. And I'm sure your community in Nepal will be excited to have a permanent store where they can do it anytime they want. That's so exciting.
Oh, and I mean, I feel like I have so much to learn from the Fashion Pulpit because like you and your team and the whole store itself gave me that opportunity, and then that's why, like, you know, I keep doing it. Like, I do it in Nepal, I do it here, like I do it like everywhere I go, I guess. Like,
you bring the swap in you.
Yeah. And you know, and the nice thing is, you know, there are certain things that after a while you kind of realize you need, and my first thought is like, I'll go check the swap shop first, like if they have what I need. And then if they don't, then okay, maybe I'll buy it. And then obviously the ones are always about waiting for that surprise where it will suddenly appear. It's really encouraging, you know, like even for me recently, I went to the Kloop swap and my husband was looking for a plaid shirt, like a flannel shirt, and I found one there, like, so it's great, like, you know, like, you kind of just have to wait it out and have that patience where you really might eventually find something you need on your, like, list, like, shopping list, so that's great.
Yes, amazing. Like, we would definitely are happy to impart our learnings. Obviously, we're still learning of like this whole thing, but we'd be happy to share it with you. You know, the whole thing that we would want to see is really a community of swapping, not just in Singapore, but everywhere. And I love how you treat swapping as a default for you to get or acquire clothes before buying you. That's amazing. So I'm down now to my last question. What do you think is the power of swapping to you?
I think for me, the power of swapping is creating awareness. I think it's true swapping that, you know, gives people the opportunity to really understand the importance of, you know, a circular economy, to understand the importance of knowing where your clothes come from, how they're made, you know, and just in a way moving towards changing the fashion industry to become better, right? Like, we have to be honest, we can't do without clothes. Like, it really is an essential part of our living, right? And, you know, like I said, working in the fashion industry, I do definitely see the importance of dressing up. Like, it gives you confidence, you know, there's so many things about dressing up that really, you know, helps every individual with style, personality, and so on. But I think what the swap culture does is that it really is a starting point for people to really dig deeper into this, you know, the fashion industry, what it does, you know, how can we make that change and everything. It's very accessible, you know, and I think me introducing it to so many friends who sometimes after a swap, I come in with a big bag and they're like, where did you go? Like, what did you buy? And I'm like, oh, I didn't buy anything, I swapped. And they're like, oh, what's that? And, you know, and then I explain what I'm doing and why I do it. And, you know, it really resonates with them. Like, it's not that people don't want to do it. People do want to do it, but they don't know. And I think swap has always been like the first step towards understanding that, oh, okay, there is a more sustainable option out there that isn't too expensive. If given a choice, like, I think everybody would like to buy sustainable and ethical fashion brands, but not every brand is affordable, every brand is accessible, and so swapping allows that accessibility, which leads to a lot of awareness. And I think that's really the power of swapping. Like, more people know and more people will do it and more people will understand why it's important.
Amazing. Wow. Thank you so much, Dora. I really get inspired, and there's so many insights that you have shared. I think for me, the biggest takeaway from this conversation is the platform swapping allows everyone to have access of what fashion is and express that, express themselves through the clothes in a more sustainable way. And thank you for doing that in Nepal. And we are excited to see more of what you can bring to Nepal. And again, thank you for your time, and we will see you around.
Thank you for having me, Ray. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope the power of swapping has empowered you to take a step farther towards a more sustainable lifestyle. And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe, share it with your friends, and even give us a topic that you would want us to cover next. Thanks for listening. Stay fashionably sustainable.